Okay, we're going to talk about the month of Elul because it's very important because this month started on Wednesday, and so today's the first Shabbat of the month, but it's also a very special period of time on God's calendar. And in contrast to the public gatherings we have for the holidays in the fall, Yom Teruah, the Jewish people call it Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, this is a kind of a time that you kind of reflect and be quiet, and you have your own thoughts and reflections to look at. Several customs direct us to consider our relationship with God and to improve this relationship by assessing our past moral achievements and shortcomings. The riveting sounds of the shofar announce the arrival of this period of reflection, but it is up to us to respond to their message. You can play the shofar all you want, Lou, but if nobody responds to it, what good is it, right? Elul is a time for personal introspection. It's kind of like New Year's resolutions. Remember, the world makes them on New Year's Day and breaks them on day after. But this is a time to prepare yourself for the coming New Year, because God's calendar is different, and an upcoming observance of the Jewish civil New Year, okay, the rabbi's New Year. Perhaps you may ask, exactly what am I supposed to do? What am I preparing for? Simply between now and Yom Teruah, you're supposed to take an inventory of all your attitudes and your actions. Then in the days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, the 10 days of awe, they call them, you will enter into a heightened state of awareness of what you need to change in your life so that you can become all that Hashem wants you to be. Elul is a month of opportunity to clean your house, where your house is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. Your body is your temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells there. This house cleaning consists of four aspects, which are all required for complete repentance toward Hashem. The first one is azivat hachet, leaving the sin. In order to leave sin, one must recognize that you have sin. Remember, sin is defined as turning your back on the teachings of Hashem. Hashem is the Hebrew way of saying God. It's a way of saying the name is what it means. So we don't really say God's name because we don't know God's name. So we just say Hashem. So, turning your back on the teachings of Hashem as revealed in the Torah is what is the definition of sin. Therefore, in this time, make an effort to take an inventory of what you need to change in your life using the written commandments of God as your guide. That's what they're there for, to guide you. For example, perhaps you have trouble with being a motor mouth, and you find yourself gossiping about everyone and everyone, so face this problem head on. Perhaps you're addicted to sexual misconduct. If so, face up to it and recognize it as something you need to get under control in your life. Maybe you continually abuse yourself emotionally. A lot of people do that, which leads to actions that can get you fired from jobs and causes stress in your relationship with your family and friends. If so, recognize this self-hating talk and turn it around. Maybe you are a habitual liar or someone who's full of pride or someone that is never content with what he or she has in this life, always wanting more, which leads to every envy and strife and amounts to nothing more than idolatry. Ask yourself some hard questions at this time of the month. This is the time to do it, to take inventory, and don't be afraid to look at what needs changing in your life. The second step is charata, which is regret or remorse. Not only do you need to recognize sin, but you also need to enter into taking responsibility for your actions. This means honestly entering into remorse and regret for doing the sin. True repentance is to feel that sorrow in one's soul for the sins which he transgressed. Refraining from transgressions without feeling bad about what one did is very far from repentance. Oh, just feel bad about it. No. Third is vidui, verbal confession of your sins before God. make an effort to step in your prayer closet and actually verbalize in the face of Hashem those sins which were performed. Call them what they are out loud so that you can hear the words. And then the fourth step is Kabbalah Lahabo, a receiving in yourself a commitment to not come to sin again. Well, our sages tell us that one who comes to purify himself, God aids him. God will help you. All you must do is take the first steps towards commitment. Afterwards, Hashem is there to assist you by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. With all this as your understanding, think about the words of in the book of John, the book of Yochanan, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, which were written specifically with this time of year in mind. This is what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the Talmud, there's an illustration that says, Rabbi Eliezer said, repent one day before your death. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't know what day you're going to die? Well, you may die tomorrow. So when is the day to repent? Today. What if you don't die tomorrow? You might die the day after. Repent one day before your death, right? And here's, they were talking about a banquet, and it's the same kind of banquet that's in Matthew 22, where the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who have been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their own way. One to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highway, and as many as you find there, invite them to the wedding feast. Yes. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. During this month of Elul, our preoccupation is in making sure that we are ready and waiting to meet Hashem as his bride. We are his bride. This is the beautiful illustrated by reading the Hebrew letters of Elul. There's an Aleph, a Lamed, a Vav, and a Lamed as an acronym, and that stands for a beautiful part of Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 16, Ani l'dodi li v'dodi li. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. And this is always a marriage dialogue between Hashem and his bride, and I know the rings that John and Mary have are engraved with those words, are they not? Is that correct? Yes. Because every Jewish wedding has those words on them. The month of Nisan is the first month of the year, and it marks the miraculous exodus from Egypt. 50 days later, in the month of Sivan, we have the revelation of Hashem at Mount Sinai, sealing an eternal marriage bond between God and the people of Israel. It was at this time that Moses ascended the mountain to receive the marriage contract, which we call the Torah, the Ketubah. The marriage contract is called a Ketubah. And the Torah is that marriage contract that God gave for us. In Moses' absence, the sin of the golden calf placed the Jewish community in jeopardy, did it not? For another 40 days, Moses pleaded with God to restore the harmonious relationship with the Jewish people that he had with them before the sin. And then it's written that Moses went up to Mount Sinai a third time on the first day of Elul, the first day of this month, last Wednesday, to receive the second set of tablets on which the commandments were written. And at the end of the 40 days, Moses returned to the congregation on the day known as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or the 10th of Tishrei. The fact that the nation of Israel received the second set demonstrated that God once again found the nation worthy of receiving it after they had sinned and worshiped the golden calf when Moses went to receive the first set. Because Hashem showed favor to the people, then it is really considered a favored time and one in which our prayers are readily listened to and answered to by Hashem. But of course, this is built upon repentance. Guess what it says in Proverbs 28:9? He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even in his prayer, is an abomination. On the anniversary of Moses' third ascent to the mountain, we begin a similar period of seeking a greater connection to God. Elul is a month set aside for preparing ourselves for the upcoming High Holy Day. You remember Jesus? I guess we call him Yeshua here, but some of you might know him as Jesus, but the Jewish people don't know him as Jesus because they know the word salvation, and that is Yeshua in their language. And so if you take that word away from them, they'll never know salvation. You can preach Jesus all you want, but they'll never get saved unless they hear Yeshua. Yeshua started his ministry he had a 3.5-year ministry, right? And it ended at Passover. So when did it start? It started in the fall at the feast at Yom Kippur. Guess what he did for 40 days prior to that? During this period of time that we're doing this, this is the time he went into the desert to do his repentance. So between now and then, you sound the shofar every day. You gather for a morning prayer service if you can. You pray your prayers. You do the sound of one shofar follows a pattern of tekiah, which is a uniform, sustained note, and then a succession of three shorter notes, and then teruah, a rapid succession of brief broken blasts, and then a final tekiah. And that's what you do every morning. Blow the horn. Let the whole world know. Go outside. Let your neighbors wonder what's going on. The path to sin targets the root of all moral behaviors. Each of us, consciously or unconsciously, chooses a path in our moral lives. Some people actively place God on their life's path, being mindful of God as they confront life's moral challenges. Some people only occasionally think about God in the course of their lives. As we prepare for the start of the new year, these shofar blasts remind us to consider our past relationship with God and how we can improve again in the future. You know what Rabbi Shaul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Mashiach will shine on you," the Messiah. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as an unwise man, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is." During the journey of the children of Israel in the desert, God instructed Moses to fashion silver trumpets for notifying the people of important events. Numbers chapter 10 talks about that. God described the different trumpet sounds to be blown in the desert and signals they would communicate. The shofar blasts that we blow correspond to those trumpet blasts. Okay, and so I'm not going to go into all those blasts for you. Just to let you know that it's a real blast to blow the trumpet. There's also prayers of repentance. We call them selichot, which are prayers that we pray every day. Penitential prayers. They include requests for forgiveness and mercy. If you are a Gentile and you wish to recite the selichot, by all means join in. However, whether you're born a Jew, an Israelite, or a Gentile, be grateful for the work of Yeshua HaMashiach, who said in John 16, verses 26 and 27. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. And John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So these 13 attributes from Exodus 34, 6 through 7 are the foundation of these prayers that we do. They're complete verses of the Torah. I'm not going to go into them all, but basically it's talking about the effects of sin, doing teshuvah, the return to God, right? And then there's also the daily recitation of Psalm 27, which we read today. The first verse of that Psalm of David, Hashem is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear, alludes to the high holy days in this hint. Hashem is my light on Rosh Hashanah and my salvation on Yom Kippur. Because of this allusion, we say that the psalm in the period before the high holy days for the month of Elul, we say the whole psalm every day for all the way through Yom Kippur. Therefore, every day you can recite this prayer as part of your three times a day special time with Hashem. Okay. Through past shortcomings would make us unworthy of establishing a relationship with you. You continue to show your desire to relate to us. Amidst all the vicissitudes of our lives, we seek closeness to you, God. We need your direction as revealed in your Torah to properly relate to you and to other people. David identifies two aspects of God's guidance to effectively relate to God. We require divine revelation to define the nature of divine service. To effectively relate to our fellow man, it would seem that we could formulate principles and laws ourselves, huh? The psalmist reminds us, however, that also in our relationships with people, God's guidance is necessary to clarify our rights and responsibilities. Okay, and then there's days of moral training. Hashem is my light and my salvation. You could look at John 12:46 for light, Luke 2:30 through 31 for salvation. Whom shall I fear? You could look at 1 John 4:18 and 19, and on and on. I have that written out somewhere, but I don't have it with me today. Sorry. During the month of Elul, it's also customary to include a statement of prayer in written correspondence that recipients merit a favorable judgment during the high holy days. The Jewish people are looking for salvation for a whole year, you know, because their whole year is almost up. They want salvation again. They don't know that they can have it forever if they just ask for Yeshua to come into their lives. What a sad time it is for them. But you always say to a Jewish person, may you be inscribed in the book of life for the coming year, right? And more than just good wishes for a new year, the greeting should be sent as a prayer to God on behalf of the recipient. Such a gesture conforms to the communal focus of the High Holy Days. Our desire for a favorable judgment extends beyond our own needs to include all around us, family, friends, and even strangers. Remember, this is not an I thing. This is a we thing. We are all part of an entity called Israel. Whether you want to be or not, if you want to be with God, you're a part of Israel. And if you're part of Israel, it's a community. We are a mishpucha, we are a family. We are accountable for each other's actions, not just our own, but everybody else's. And we have to help each other get along. This is a very special time. I told you, Yeshua was out in the desert during this time. Don't let it slip by without at least having some conscious awareness of what the Holy One, blessed be He, is wanting to accomplish in your life at this time. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, we learn this. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Guess what? Repentance, the word repentance in Hebrew is teshuvah. Repentance always means that you return to the Torah. the Torah. This is the basis of Yeshua's Judaism. You know that Torah there is called the Word? If you've ever read the book of John, you'll know that in the book of John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came and dwelt among us. And Yeshua is that Word. He is the Torah. When he said in Matthew 5:17, I came to fulfill the Torah, not to destroy it. He came to point out to you what it means, because he is that. And if he was to destroy it, he would commit suicide, because he is the Word. And the whole universe was created because of the Word. Amen. And that's the only Word we got from God. Everything else is just commentary. That's the foundation upon which the prophets and the writings and the New Testament exists. There is nothing new in the New Testament. 80% of it is quotes from there. That's the foundation. If you want to know what it says in there, well, guess what? Jesus said in John 5:46, if you know Moses, you would know me. That's when he said know Moses, he meant the guy that wrote the Torah. If you know what he says, you'll know me. He is the Torah, made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the basis of Yeshua's Judaism. Yeshua is Jewish. He still is. He's coming back, and he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. Last time I checked, that's not in Tulsa. It's not at the Dallas Theological Seminary either. It's in Jerusalem, right across the street from the Temple Mount. Amen. And he's going to come back. And may you find the courage to walk in the merit of Messiah and find the courage to look into your own heart and judge your own heart at this time of this season. And at this time, I encourage you to get your focus off of judging others and then take a look at your own heart first. There is good chance that you might find something that you might need to repent from. Amen? Well, I hope that it's not too hard on you. And I hope that you don't have to repent from too much. But we all need to look at ourselves. Even I have problems. Definitely. I was perfect once, but then I found Yeshua and found out I wasn't. And now I'm trying to work my way back up the ladder, but I'm way down on the bottom rung somewhere. 3 or 4.